I'm Frank Vaughn. It's September 30th, 2025, and today is the National Day of Grievance and Division. It's also called the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, but that's not what it's about. It's about creating division and doing nothing. I have a series of questions to ask everybody as to how effective this strategy of wearing orange t-shirts has been over the last little while. How many lives have we saved by wearing orange t-shirts? Millions of people do. China's very happy. Bangladesh is very happy. Vietnam is very happy because they're selling all kinds of orange t-shirts into Canada, creating opportunities with those containers full of those t-shirts to probably load them full of drugs at the same time. How many lives have the orange t-shirts saved? How many water supplies have been made clean? You know, I think back to Justin Trudeau when he was elected. And I will admit that in 2015, I had some hope. There were some sensible things that Justin Trudeau and the Liberal Party were saying back then. Electoral reform. I didn't like the direction they wanted to take it, and I'm kind of thankful that it didn't get there, which was kind of a list where you vote for your primary and then you vote for your secondary, and it basically would ensure that the Conservatives, which can't win elections anyway, would literally never win elections ever again. We need much more comprehensive reform than that. But there was also the idea of decriminalizing, which we didn't do, marijuana. We made a legal regime, which absolutely we couldn't have made a more backwards regime. People lost all kinds of money, and now the cartels run the entire marijuana business in plain sight, using those funds to help purchase precursor ingredients to manufacture the hard drugs, which I'd hoped. When we talked about doing legalization, when we talked about doing decriminalization, I'd hoped that those police resources, which were being wasted on weed, would be rededicated to getting heroin and methamphetamine and crack off our streets. None of that happened. So any hope? And then another one I'll mention a couple more. When Justin Trudeau, a day or two after the election, he reopened the press gallery. I actually shed tears. I'm not even going to kid you. I wept. Because Stephen Harper had closed it. If you're going to be an effective conservative leader, you have to talk to the media. And you got to battle with the media. This is the same issue that we have in 2025 with Pierre Poilievre. He's not writing the narrative. He's worried about the narrative. Stephen Harper just shut it down. And I thought that was a terrible look, and I thought it was really bad for our country. And when he opened it back up, it had been shuttered for long enough at that age and at that stage of my life that I had almost forgot it existed. So it was really nice to dust the cobwebs off. The other thing was Gord Downie was still alive, tragically hip. And he had a concert. Can't remember what city it was. I think it was in Kingston, but I'm not sure. And Justin Trudeau was in attendance. And I believe Gord Downie called him up on stage, or at the very least, he addressed him in the crowd. And he said, when it comes to these Native issues, when it comes to these First Nations issues, Justin Trudeau is the one that will get it done. And these were some of Gord Downie's final thoughts. None of it happened. So anyway, fast forward to today. Water supplies haven't been made clean. Do you know how many billions, hundreds of billions of dollars have flooded from federal coffers? Actually, no. Federal coffers are empty. This is from the future. We're borrowing it from the central bank, and then we're shipping it out in all these welfare programs, which are delivering no results. Water supplies, how many have been made clean? Almost none. How many First Nations people gained ownership of their homes and lots? I've talked about this on the channel. The root of all evil when it comes to the First Nations is the Indian Act, which basically deprives, for a few thousand dollars a month at most, oftentimes it's a couple thousand dollars a month, deprives you of any ownership of the land under your feet, any personal stake in your own house. Everything is issued by the band. How many bands stopped leasing their land from the crown? Do people understand that under the reserve system, the bands themselves who receive all of this money, and if you don't work for the band, if you don't work on reserve, you don't get the income tax exemptions, you don't get the sales tax exemptions. If you want to leave, if you want to own property, if you want to have a stake in your future, if you want to make more money, if you want to be productive, you become a tax slave like everybody else. How many bands stopped leasing their land from the crown? And it's none. Also, how many bodies, how many children's bodies have we actually found in these so-called unmarked graves? This is a question the federal government under the Liberals wants to ban. They don't want you asking for the concrete evidence. They don't want you to ask that question. All of this, all of these real problems are ignored and flushed away by wearing an orange t-shirt a day or two a year. And this is what Canada's biggest problem is. We have a vacuum culture. We have vacuum virtue. It's not just vacuous, it's a vacuum. It actually sucks in all of the political energy, whether it's the orange shirt brigades, whether it's the rainbow brigades, whether it's the Ukraine flag brigades, whatever brigade you're part of, it absorbs energy, which takes that energy away from doing real things and solving real problems. It's not just these real First Nations issues that are being ignored by the fact that we've reduced the whole thing down to wearing orange t-shirts. Do you know, I talked about it in a previous video, and I'm going to talk about it again, that in Saskatchewan, the crime rate, the homicide rate, is 10 times higher on reserve. This is natives killing natives. How is that helped by wearing orange t-shirts? It doesn't do anything, but it makes people feel like they're doing something. It makes people feel like they're virtuous. Again, it's a vacuum that takes up energy, and it's vacuous because it produces nothing. It takes a lot of energy and does nothing. And I'm going to show you a couple more nothings. This is what we do to stop signs now. This doesn't lead to reconciliation. This doesn't lead to unity. This doesn't bring people together. This is just further division. Making signs in languages that most of the people they're targeting can't read anyway, because most of us speak English, whether you're from English background, French background, or native background. The times have changed. Things have moved on. Unfortunately, we have all of these artifacts which are solving none of our modern problems. As we constantly look backwards, we constantly attack the past, and we're not dealing with the problems in the moment. Here's another thing that came across my desk just yesterday, the day before. This is Specimen Kane on Twitter. This is a picture I took in the lobby of the Ministry of Child and Family Affairs or something. It's basically the branch of the BC government that takes care of family services in Port Hardy, BC. This is Sonoqua, the wild woman of the woods who steals children. When I told the team leader how disturbing I found it, that this mask looms over people from behind as they sit in the lobby waiting to hear word about the fate of their children, the team leader told me how proud she was for them to have received such an amazing gift from the chiefs. They are oblivious to its meaning. Again, when we are bound up in absolutely pointless activities like wearing orange shirts and feeling good about ourselves, we escape the details. We avoid the details that there's a lot of bad things happening in foster care. There's a lot of bad things happening in child protective services in this country. Far from protecting children, it's not protecting children. In some cases, anyway, I know some amazing people who work in that field who desperately want to save children from the cycles of violence and drug abuse that they're born into, and I celebrate every single one of them. But the fact is, we are not solving the underlying societal problem. We're not coming together with solutions. We're just doing this divisive nonsense. And meanwhile, as they're taking away kids, the Lord of Child Theft hangs over the affairs. As many of you know, we're off to renaming Dundas Square. We're off to renaming Ryerson University. We're off to renaming streets all over this country to things that nobody can read and nobody can pronounce, adding to the burden that we're putting on society by bringing in people who can't speak English anyway. It's bad enough we've got hundreds of thousands, probably, maybe tens of thousands, but hundreds of thousands is my guess, truck drivers in this country who have been mass imported from India, who can't speak English and can't read road signs and are killing people every single day. Highway 11 and Highway 7 crossing, I believe it's Highway 7. Highway 11 anyway, I don't know what the other highway is that goes through Sault Ste. Marie. It's becoming a minefield. I know truckers who drive that every single day. I am very familiar with the statistics and how accidents are on the increase. No media company is truly covering the scale of risk that you face just driving on the Trans-Canada Highway these days. And we're making it even worse. People can't even give effective directions anymore. Eventually, we're all just going to be using Google Pins, because instead of fire route numbers on a street that you can pronounce, we're going to have fire route numbers on streets that you can't even describe. We're going to go back to geographic touchstones as location points, turn right at the church, if there's any churches left, because that's the other thing. We burn a lot of churches down in this country. The assault on churches is ongoing. We don't have a specific t-shirt, like a white t-shirt day, to recognize the hundreds of churches that have been burned down and the Christians who have been targeted for destruction. The fact that politicians barely even recognize the majority faith in this country anymore, whether you're a Christian or not. Maybe you believe that the government should be secular, but it isn't. It's celebrating every kind of diverse faith. Doesn't matter the background, doesn't matter the history, doesn't matter what the figures in those religions were up to, say with little kids. They just celebrate it like a bunch of blind lemmings. None of this creates unity. None of this creates reconciliation. None of it is truthful. And as tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people, maybe even millions of people are engaged using their time in these empty, vacuous activities, very real things are happening in this country that's going to affect us all. You want to talk about unity? The effect of the boot stomping on your face and the end of free speech is going to affect everybody. Left, right, center, religious, atheist, doesn't matter who you are, it's coming. This is Matt Strauss. This is an MP in Kitchener. He is saying things that his party leader has not said yet. You need to be very concerned about Bill C-8. It allows Melanie Jolie to kick anyone off the internet with no trial, no warrant. Worse, you won't be allowed to say you've been kicked off. This is the Emergency Measures Act on steroids, only permanent and secret. Indeed, they use the Emergencies Act to suppress people's rights. They don't use it on pro-Palestine protesters who are taking over streets and smashing windows and targeting Jewish businesses that are just trying to go about their business. They don't do that. They did it on the Freedom Convoy. They were found legally, bindingly, to have done so wrongly, never received any punishment, but they don't want to have to go through that formal process again. They want to be able to lock your bank account. They want to be able to kick you off the internet without even having to go to a judge. That's what C8 does. We talked about it a bit yesterday, but let's just read what one of our sitting MPs has highlighted from this bill. Section 15.2.1, if there are reasonable grounds to believe that it is necessary to do so to secure the Canadian telecom system against any threat, including that of interference, manipulation, disruption, or degradation. As soon as you throw the word interference or the word manipulation in there, it is wide open to interpretation. And so Melanie Jolie can determine on her own without judicial oversight that you have done such a thing, kick you off the internet, prohibit a telecommunication service provider from providing any service to any specified person, including a telecommunication service provider. So Bell, Rogers, ExploreNet, they will be ordered to kick you off the internet. They will have to comply, or they themselves will be found criminally culpable. Consider for a moment that there was no legal basis for freezing and seizing people's bank accounts, and the banks went along and did it anyway. Do you think Bell, Rogers, and ExploreNet are going to stand up for you? I have Starlink. There's a good chance that Starlink and Elon Musk may disobey this order because they have certainly not wished to comply when it comes to X with the EU's mandates. Musk has shown he's got a bit of a rebellious streak, so maybe we'll be safe. But this is what is before Parliament right now. The order may also include a provision prohibiting the disclosure of its existence or some or all of its contents by any person. So, if you are so ordered off the internet under penalty of jail time, if you are so ordered off the internet, you will not be able to tell anybody that you've been ordered off the internet. So if I've got a social media platform and Melanie Jolie decides that I'm not supposed to have it anymore, I will get summarily kicked off and I will be forbidden from communicating with any of you, the people who create value through my work. I will not be able to tell you I've been kicked off. The minister may require any person to provide to the minister or any person designated by the minister within any time and subject to any conditions that the minister may specify, any information that the minister believes on reasonable grounds is relevant to the pursuit purpose of making, amending, or revoking an order under section 15.1 or 15.2 or a regulation under paragraph 15.81A or of verifying compliance and preventing noncompliance with such an order or regulation. That's a lot of words, but that basically, it's so open-ended. The minister may do whatever they want with your access to the internet. They may do anything they want with the order itself. You will not be able to appeal to a judge. You will not have a legal process. It will literally be up to the minister alone in that government, in that cabinet that Parliament appoints, because Parliament's not government. It's so key. It's so important that you understand that in Canada, the Canada that was created in 1982, because again, we're talking about truth and reconciliation today, Here's some truth for you. The country was replaced in 1982. For all you people talking about saving Canada, it was replaced in 1982 without a vote. Your civil rights descend from the government, not God, which means they can take them away whenever they want, and there are no property rights in the charter. And you know what that means? It means you don't have free speech. It means you don't own the land under your feet. You don't own the house, even if you paid for it, that you're living in. You don't own your property. You don't own your firearms. The government can come along and take it. And now they want to make it super easy. Like, can you imagine? The commons, the digital commons is the future. We all engage in political debate online. You can argue that it's too caustic. I do all the time. Sometimes I partake in that acerbic outgrowth of my own frustrations. But the fact of the matter is, we're all moving online to have free speech because we know we can't get it from the media. The media, which is subsidized by the government, it's all state media. As far as I'm concerned, if the Toronto Star, if Global News, if CBC is the worst, but if all of these media companies are lining up to take handouts from the government, they are beholden to the government to report. It doesn't even need to be a direct order coming down from the government. You create a cloak of silence around certain subjects. You know instinctually what you should talk about and what you shouldn't talk about, and you know instinctually how you should talk about it. The people who think about these things, the people who care about the future, the people who want to be politically engaged, they're not doing it through the mainstream media. We're not writing letters to the editor anymore because it's Nerf ball nonsense. Even outside of the direct subsidies, open a newspaper if you still have a community newspaper. Go to any sort of media outlet and just look at the advertising for a period of time, and you'll notice that there's a whole pile of government advertising, whether it's municipal, whether it's provincial, whether it's federal. Not just direct subsidy, but they're also buying an incredible volume of ad space. You don't bite the hand that feeds. So those of us who are desperate for debate, those of us who are desperate for truth, we come online, and now they got a bill, which C9 is a whole other issue, basically creating a whole new category of hate speech and criminalizing that, put you in jail, ankle monitors. It's basically C63 has been divided up and separated into separate bills so they can get it through. C8 is going to make it so if you're effective, if you're actually having informed debate, they can call it manipulation, they can call it interference in the midst of an election, and they can just summarily kick you off online, and you won't even be able to tell anybody you've been kicked off. That's totalitarian. So in an effort to keep this under 20 minutes, let me just summarize this by saying on this day of national truth and reconciliation, let's actually tell some truth today. Let's actually try and reconcile. Instead of focusing on division and this cultural mosaic, which I don't understand how people can't see, that the very word diversity implies division. The root of the word is the same. Now let's start focusing on our common problems. Let's start focusing on how we've all been ripped off, whether you are a fifth generation Canadian, whether you are some poor schmuck in the TFW or IMP program that's been brought in by this government to become a slave class to international managers, millionaires and billionaires, often with cartel ties. It's all linked together. We created a slave class that we're taking advantage of. Whether you're on a reserve and you have no stake in the land under your feet, no stake in your future, no direct ownership of anything right up to the band level. Whether you're anybody, it doesn't matter who you are. We all have this common thing. We're getting screwed by this government. We've been getting screwed by it for a long time. And Mark Carney, he is here to sink this ship. They're talking about a $69 billion deficit without a budget. Parliament hasn't voted on any of this spending at any point. I hear whispers that the NDP is talking about bringing down the government. And that's a wonderful thing, except I don't know if the Bloc does not care about this nation. They only care about Quebec. So if they can make a deal and prop up the Liberal governments and stab us all in the back, they'll do it again. But hopefully the NDP finds their backbone, because there needs to be opposition on the left from the left, because what the Liberals are doing is central banking 101. It's finance 101. They're carving up and destroying this nation, and there are no champions of the people on the left anymore if the NDP is reduced to a role of simply rubber stamping this government into place. Find your courage. You want to talk about Orange T-shirt Day? Let's wear orange T-shirts for the NDP to find their backbone. I'm Frank Vaughn. If you like my work, please consider supporting it via the website. I'll see you in the next one.